Well, it is indeed a pleasure and an honour to be back here at, I think, what Annette and I would call home base. This is the church and the community where we grew in our faith, and it was here that I sort of received and confirmed that call to go into full-time ministry after 40 years working in IT. It's a very different line of business. Dealing with people rather than dealing with zeros and ones is a big challenge. As Don was saying, I'm at Christian Baptist Church, the pastor of Christian Baptist Church in Newmarket, and that sounds like an odd name, but I need to explain that there are two Baptist churches in Newmarket, and ours is the Christian Baptist Church. So the name actually does have a history. We were planted in 1822. We're the oldest continuing congregation in Newmarket. We were planted in 1822 by a group that came up from the States who were very concerned at this proliferation of all new denominations that were starting, and they didn't like that, so they started one of their own, and they called it the Christian Church. And so we were one of those plants, and we were the Christian Church. And then in the 1930s, they joined the Congregational Church, and in the 1940s, they joined the Baptist Convention. But they wanted to keep that bit of history in the name, so it became the Christian Baptist Church. So that's a little bit of the history. You know, when sometimes a speaker comes, a conference or a preacher, at the end, they allow time for Q&A, questions and answers. Well, we're going to have a Q&A session here today, but it's going to be at the beginning, and I'm going to ask the question, and you're going to give the answer. So that makes it easier for me. Now, a number of you I've asked, to do part of the readings for us today. We've got a number of readings from Scripture today, so I've handed you a little slip of paper. Those of you with the slip of paper know who you are. When it's your time, I will call out the number, the letter that's on your piece of paper, and I'll ask you to read it. If you don't have one of those pieces of paper, it's not your day. Next time. So let's pray before we get into this message I have today from God's Word. Father, we give you thanks for this day, for this time of worship, for this wonderful family of fellowship and praise and worship here at Uxbridge. We ask you to be present by your Holy Spirit and guide our words, guide our thoughts, Lord, and let us, each one of us, take home today one piece, one nugget from your word that will change our lives. We pray this now in Jesus' name. So show of hands here. Who here would describe themselves as a believer? Oh, good show of hands here, good. That's good. Someone has letter A, I think it's Vince or Augusta. You have letter A, James 2:19. Could you read that out, Augusta, very loudly now? That's right. So you all just decided you were believers. Well, you're in the company of the demons if you're just a believer. Because as James 2:19 says, you believe there is one God, and that is good, but even the demons believe in God. So we're not putting ourselves in very good company if we just call ourselves believers. Let's try a different word. B. Matthew. Here in Matthew, we see Jesus confronting a man that was possessed with two men possessed by demons, and the demons addressed Jesus as Son of God. They knew exactly who Jesus was. So they were believers too. They knew God, they knew Jesus. So calling ourselves believers doesn't tell us anything. How about another word then? Who here would call yourself a Christian? No reluctance there either. It's a trick question too. Yeah, we call ourselves a Christian. But do you know there's no definition in Scripture of what a Christian is? The word only occurs three times. When it was first used, it was more of an accusatory word. We find in Acts 11:26. It says the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. It was a derogatory term. It was a put down. They were called. It was a name calling thing. They didn't call themselves Christians. They were called Christians. When Paul was addressing King Agrippa, again in Acts 26, he sort of dismissed him and said, do you think you're going to make me be a Christian in such a short time? So the word Christian doesn't have good definition. In fact, you know, as well as I do, that you can talk to all kinds of people who will call themselves Christians, yet you ask, is Jesus the only way? They'll say, no, I don't think so. You ask them, is the Bible God's word? They'll say, well, no, I'm not sure about that. But they'll call themselves Christian. So the name Christian, the title Christian, has a lot of very loose and broad definitions. And it's not the right word. What's the right word? Disciple is the right word. If you look up Webster's dictionary, one who believes in and helps to spread another's teaching. One who believes in and helps to spread another's teaching is a disciple. Let's look at Scripture and see how Scripture defines and describes what it means to be a disciple. And let's see if today we can refocus our thinking about what we call ourselves. Are we just going to call ourselves believers? Are we just going to call ourselves Christians? Are we going to call ourselves disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? And as we go through these texts of Scripture, ask yourself, how do I measure up with this definition? How do I measure up with this standard of being a disciple? Let us see. John 2:11. Brian? Thank you, Brian. This is again Jesus. He's in Cana in Galilee. It's his first public miracle, if you like, at the wedding feast in Cana. Converts the water into wine. And I'm sure that was a wonderful party after that. And that it says here the disciples put their faith in him. Here's our first definition, if you like, of a disciple. It's a person, a man or a woman or a child, who puts their faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, we live in a culture where people are putting their faith in a lot of things. They're putting their faith in politics. They're putting their faith in material possessions, their careers, their education, their money, their accumulated wealth, all kinds of things that people are putting their faith in. But from Scripture, from this first definition, is we put our faith in the person of Jesus Christ. That's our first step in becoming a disciple. We put our faith in the one that we call master. We put our faith in the one that we call teacher. Another thing about disciples, who has letter D? Go ahead, Dan. They went to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. It's another mark of discipleship is that we do what Jesus tells us to do. And I would suggest that those of us who've been along in years in the Christian faith, in the Christian walk, trying to be disciples, have come across times when we knew that the Lord was telling us to do something, to go and speak to someone, or to take a particular course of action, or volunteer for one of the jobs that goes on in the church, and we said no. And we know it. Disciples do what Jesus tells them to do. Even if it sounds bizarre, even if it sounds far-fetched, disciples just say, that's the Lord speaking to me. I will go and do that. The thing is, how do you know? How do you know if Jesus is telling you to do something? I want readers E and F now. Who's E? Who's got E? Go ahead, Nora. Okay, and F? Okay. Another sign of a disciple is they spend time with Jesus. Several readings in Scripture throughout the Gospels where it says Jesus went away with his disciples. The disciples spent one-on-one time, or maybe 12-on-one time, with Jesus. But they got away to a quiet place. They put away the responsibilities of the day, of the week. They switched off their cell phones. They turned off their TV. They pulled out the earbuds. And they spent time alone with Jesus. That's a mark of a disciple, is that they spend time in prayer. They spend time in conversation with the Lord. That's how we know what the Lord is telling us to do, because we're with him, we're listening to him. We're learning to hear his voice. We're learning to hear him speak into our life, into our ministries. And so we follow what he does. Disciples spend time with their master and their teacher. G. Who has G? John. If you hold to my teaching, then you really are my disciples. I think this is a key verse in our day, in our culture, and in our time, where the Christian faith is under increasing attack, it's under increasing alienation, it's being sidelined. By no definition can we call Canada a Christian country at all. It's long past that time, if it ever was that time. Okay? But if you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will hold to the teaching of Scripture. You will not waffle. You will not weaken it. You will not water it down to accommodate the culture. That's what's happening. Even in the so-called Christian church, pastors and teachers are watering down the Scripture to accommodate the move of society, the move of our culture. True disciple holds to my teaching, Jesus says, and then you really are my disciple. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. So we spend time with our Lord and Savior, quiet time alone in prayer, Bible study. We read the Scripture so we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And we're becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. What else do we do that shows we are disciples of Christ? H. Who has H? Don.
While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, but there were many who followed him.
We find often in Scripture Jesus hanging out with outcasts, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the sinners. In fact, he was reprimanded so often from the Pharisees, by the Pharisees, because of that. And you'll notice that he was with his disciples. His disciples, too, were hanging out with the street people, the poor, the outcasts, the unsavory. And if we are disciples, we'll be looking for opportunities to do likewise. We'll be looking out for that poor person, that street person, and we're looking for opportunities to give them a hand, buy them a meal, spend some time with them, just engage in conversation with them, as Jesus did. We'll do that because we are disciples of Jesus, and in doing that, we'll find Jesus there too. Disciples of Jesus will do what Jesus did, and he looked for the outcasts and the poor and the downtrodden, and he spent time with them, and so should we. Sometimes kingdom work can get very busy. Who's got I, Mark 3:20? John. Yeah, they were not even able to eat. Jesus and the disciples were so busy with kingdom work that meals got skipped. That's a good marker, isn't it? How often do you find yourself at the end of the busy day in ministry, say, wow, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten all day. I've been so busy doing what I was called to do that I didn't have time to eat. It's right there in Scripture, Mark 3:20. The crowd was so big that they didn't even have time to eat. How many of us can say that about our ministry life? That we found ourselves so wrapped up in what we have to do for the kingdom that we didn't have time to eat that day. See, it's a marker of a disciple that kingdom work comes first. And our own needs, even physical need of eating, will come second. Another marker of disciples is they're keeping watch. Who's got J, Matthew? Matthew 26, Jeff, J for Jeff. Jeff. Disciples are being told by Jesus to keep watch. This is a very difficult time for Jesus in this particular text. Garden of Gethsemane, not a matter of hours before his crucifixion. And all he asked the disciples to do was to watch and pray. But they fell asleep. See, a true disciple will not fall asleep. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we've got to stay awake, particularly in this day, in our culture, in our society. We've got to watch and pray. We've got to watch and pray for our families, for our children and our grandchildren. Because our culture wants to teach them a whole bunch of lies. So we've got to watch. We've got to pray. We've got to be alert. Because the temptation is all around us and Satan wants to snatch it all away from us. Keep watch and pray and don't fall into temptation. It's a very specific calling of a disciple to be aware of the dangers around us. Another thing about disciples, L. Who has L? Mark 7. Esther. Thanks, Esther. Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders? In interesting question that the Pharisees would ask Jesus. There was this one thing that Jesus disliked intensely. It was religion and the traditions and the rituals that came to make up what it meant to be a person of faith. He dismissed them all. Disciples of Jesus Christ aren't into rituals and traditions. Disciples of Jesus Christ listen to the Lord and their Lord and Savior. They're into the Word of God, and they're following what He tells them to do, not the practices and traditions of men. We are focused, if we're disciples of Jesus Christ, we are focused on building up the kingdom, and that's all. Not building up a denomination, not building up a church, not trying to add numbers, not trying to be attractional. We're just trying to build up the kingdom by bringing more people into discipleship. Now, in quick succession, I'd like M, N, O, and P to be ready to read, because they're all connected. M, Mark 8:34. Ah. Okay, N. Thank you. P.
Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back to service of the kingdom of God."
Thanks, Tim. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, this is a clear marker of discipleship. The kingdom is first. Everything else has to become second. It's unequivocal in these passages. You can't begin the work of a disciple and look back to see what you've left behind. Jesus says you can't do that. If you're not prepared to sacrifice everything to pursue the kingdom, you can't be a disciple. Jesus said that. It's not me, it's Jesus. If you want to be my disciple, you've got to take up your cross, which is sacrifice, and follow me. If you're a disciple, then Jesus and the kingdom is all there is for you. Everything else is forsaken. So it's about kingdom work. It's about following the word of Scripture. It's about having a healthy disdain for traditions and rituals. It's about spending time each day, and maybe even several days throughout the year when you take a whole day in quietness with the Lord. It's holding to the Scripture truth and not wavering because it's not popular, but holding to it in spite of the ridicule or the abuse that might come your way. Now, these are things we do for ourselves, if you like, in our relationship with Jesus. But there is one clear thing that Jesus gave as a marker of a disciple that everybody else would notice. Who has Q? Randy. Clear marker of a group of people like yourselves to the community that you live in, that you love one another. It doesn't mean we're always in agreement on every little thing, but in our disagreements we still love one another. We don't fall out of fellowship with each other because we're not all aligned around the same particular issue. but we love one another. That's the marker that Jesus said of a disciple that would show the world. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Not because we preach a particular text of scripture, or we hold to a particular tradition or ritual in our church meetings, but because we demonstrate to the world around us that we love one another. That's the marker. That's the light that shines before men, that we love one another. These are all markers. How are we doing so far? How do you measure up in your own heart as a disciple now when you see these texts of scripture, these words of Jesus calling us not into a religion, but calling us into discipleship? Who's got R, our last reader? Brian. The other marker of a disciple of Jesus Christ is that they go and make other disciples. We are called to the kingdom, and our first task is to go out and call others into the kingdom. It's very straightforward. True disciples go and make other disciples. It's part of what they do. It's part of what they do at work, in the school, wherever they are. They're ready to have the name of Jesus on their lips. They're ready to console someone they see having a difficult day. And they're ready to bring that message of hope, the gospel of truth, into the world. We had a wonderful experience just a few weeks ago of this very thing. We had a phone call very early one Sunday morning from one of our granddaughters, and we have many, as you know. And she called us to say, I wanted to tell you I have Jesus in my heart. And now I have to tell people that I've got Jesus in my heart. And so she needed to call Nana and Papa to tell them that, and she had already told her little brother that. So here we have a four-year-old new disciple. What's the first thing she wants to do? Is tell other people. How do you measure up with that? Are you willing to tell other people about Jesus and the great hope you have and the salvation you've received and the joy that you have because you already have eternal life? How ready are we as disciples of Jesus to go and tell other people? So we have to decide what title we're going to put on ourselves. Are we going to say, oh yeah, I'm a believer? In what? The demons believe in God, and they know who Jesus is. Am I going to call myself a Christian? That undefined, vague, nebulous, squishy word that anybody can define the way they want to define it. Or when someone asks, are you a Christian, you'll say, well, I don't know what your definition of that is, but let me tell you, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I uphold the word of Scripture, and I listen to the Lord Jesus Christ directing my paths each and every day of my life. Because we're not called to be anything else, we're only called to be disciples. And we're called in that discipleship to call others into discipleship. I believe at this time the world doesn't need any more believers. And may I say it, it doesn't need any more Christians. What it needs are disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what this world needs. And you are it. And this is our town. This is where we disciple others. We have to put our faith completely in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone, the person of. We are into Scripture each and every day of our lives. We're learning it, and I can tell you, I can attest to this from my own testimony is, if you teach it, you learn an awful lot more. So when the call goes up in September for Sunday school students, maybe that's the Lord speaking to you, because that's where I grew, that's where I learnt the Word of God. We hold to the Scripture, we spend time with the Lord, we look out for the needy and the outcasts, and we go and we make new disciples. That's our job. That's our calling. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, first we ask you to forgive us. We confess that we've made it something else. We've made it about church. We've made it about coming to church on a Sunday. We've made it about a whole bunch of other things. But all you called us to do was to follow you, listen to your word, obey your teaching, and go and make other disciples. So Lord, forgive us for what we've made it. Restore us, we pray. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and guide and direct our days from this day forward. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.